Tears for Fears on Over 103.5, your life, your music. 22 minutes past 6 o'clock. We're sneaking in a couple of minutes. We've got a very special studio guest with me. It's Alistair Kutsia who's with us. The name is very familiar in Namibia now, of course. And we have quite a lot of listeners in South Africa as well. So you guys out from the Western Cape and actually all South African rugby supporters will recognize the name. He's with me in the studio, up bright and early. And I think, Alistair, firstly, good morning. And secondly, you look all sprightly this morning. Do you normally get up early in the morning?
Good morning, Dion, and good morning to all the listeners. Well, Dion, I haven't been a morning person for a very long time, you know.
Were you one at one point?
I never have been, but I had to change, you know, a bit of the priorities, and getting up early has become part of the routine. I think, you know, as a rugby coach, you've got to make sure that all preparation, all planning is done. You've got to double check. So, and also looking after my health is a second thing, you know, important thing for me. So that's why I am, it hasn't been a problem to get here this morning.
Nice. Okay, so you've always been involved with rugby, right? I mean, correct. You were a player. Is this from school days already? Were you just somebody who took to rugby and you loved it?
Yeah, primary school days for sure, Dion.
This was out, it's called Makanda now, it's Grahamstown, right? Right, that's where you were born, right?
That's right. 1963.
Way back.
Yeah, way back. I don't want to give my age away. But a small little town, Grahamstown. It's an hour away from Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape.
And that's where Rhodes University is as well,
correct.
Right?
It had a massive influence in my sporting career as well, you know. I was at George Dickinson Primary School, George Dickinson. So my mum taught there. Because my parents used to be sports people too, you know. My father played rugby as well, cricket, tennis. So small little town, obviously rugby was so-called number one sport there. So you had no other option but to try and get into the school's first 15 and play for your school, you know.
So from primary school up into high school, and then obviously, the mission is to get into the first 15, and then hopefully from then onwards, if you're good enough, you can move up through the ranks, right?
Correct. And in the old Saro days, we had like a B section, which our town was in the Cedro Southeastern District Rugby Union District, you know.
Yeah.
So I represented them while playing at school. I played a bit of senior rugby as well, you know, against the wishes of my mum. But
it's normally the moms, though, right? They're so scared you're going to get crunched.
Playing for Cedro at the time, I think it was around about 18 years old. And after matric, that was in my matric year. So after matric, I went to Port Elizabeth, obviously to go study at Dawa Teachers Training College.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
As a teacher those days, you know, as a... your parents actually. So my dad passed on early.
Your mom was a teacher.
My dad also a teacher.
Oh, was he also a teacher?
Yeah, my eldest brother also a teacher. My sister a teacher, and my youngest brother. A teacher.
But there's also strong connections in your family for rugby.
Yeah, 100%.
Is it your uncle or your cousin who played at a high level as well?
No, it was a little nephew.
Was it a nephew?
Nephew of mine. Yeah, he played as well. So, you know, those days you could only become a teacher, girls, a nurse. You know, those kind of things. Yeah. So it was, and I went to college, teachers training college, because my boot went there first, that's where the rugby took off. So it was in a bigger province, in the Eastern Province, and I represented the college, and we participated in that Eastern Province League, and then I got selected into the provincial side, the senior EP side, and I played there until unification, and then also represented the Unified Eastern Province in the Curry Cup. So it started at Dawa Rugby.
A lot of people ask us a lot of things. These are going to be not rugby questions, okay? Because there's a lot of women out there asking more personal questions. We're going to get to that just now. But how important is it now that we speak about you coming up through the ranks and playing at all these levels? Yeah. How important is it for a rugby coach to have played the game? Can you be a good coach if you never played the game?
Yes, I don't think... there's a problem with that, but I think it gives you a bit more insight if you've played it at a higher level, a bit more insight as to what happens in the change room. What happens when this team goes to dark places? How you know, do the players react to pressure situations? And if you haven't been there, obviously then you do miss out on... having that sort of, not credibility, but that experience to convince players.
I've been here. I know what you guys are going through kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't thought of it that way because, I mean, technically you can learn the skills.
Exactly, exactly.
It's like you could be a great pianist by learning to play the piano, but some people are just naturals at it. And you know what I'm saying? And if you compose and all that. Alistair Kutsia, live with us this morning in the studio. Ons gaan nou begin personal raak. We now got the rugby out of there. All the girls are going, come on, man. All right, music on the way. First, Katy Perry.
Namibian life reimagined.
In the studio this morning, Alistair Kutsia, he's the current man in charge. He is the guy who will bear responsibility when Namibia goes to the World Cup, which they're doing it. I think it's 64 days today, if I'm not mistaken. Alistair, we were talking about people who played the game coaching versus people who haven't played the game coaching.
Yes, Dion. I just think, you know, you made me think when you asked that question. You know, sometimes coaches who haven't played the game will be really good till a certain level of age group coaching, sure, youngsters and that. But when it comes to first-class rugby and senior rugby, then it's more about managing players. Because those players obviously have got knowledge, and it's up to you how to utilize that knowledge and make sure that it, you know, it fits the culture. Because a senior player has played international rugby before and you haven't played maybe club second team, but you're the coach now. Sure. You know, you will be challenged.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, managing personalities, attitude, how influential this player is in team. Yeah. How can I utilize his experience and make sure it works?
And of course, getting everybody on board to your vision. Because let's face it, you're now shaping the direction the team is going. And you've got to get buy-in from them. And that's about credibility. They've got to see that your idea might not be what I would have done, but I'll give you a chance because you know what you're talking about.
100%. And that's why whenever you start with a team, look at what is the identity of the team. What do we stand for? What is our culture?
Sure.
So if you have this culture where it's a team first, then, you know, players won't come and put their or look at their own ambition or look at what is, you know, what they can get out of it and putting themselves first, but the team first. And that gives it like a compass for any team.
All right, now we're moving completely to something different. Had a question here from Angelique. Says, firstly, she wishes the team the best of luck. We're all obviously rooting for
Thank
the Velvetiers. We know
you.
It's going to be great. She says she thinks you're doing a great job. We saw some of the team selections and your first group that you guys had together with Swakopmund coming up one of these days, the second training camp.
Yep.
But she wants to know, are you a family man?
Of course, Angelique. I think it started, my love for sport in the game started within my family.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I mean, the family's there to look after you, to care for you, and support, you know.
Sure.
When, you know, life, it's like life. There will be ups and downs, and who do you look, you know, at to support? Family.
So where do they stay?
My family at the moment, they're all based in Cape Town.
Because you're up and down. I mean, you do a lot of traveling, not only here, but even the other coaching jobs that you've had. It's been the Sharks. It's been Western Province. It's been all over the show.
Man, Dion.
You were overseas as well, weren't you?
In Europe and in Japan.
And
Japan as well, yeah.
Wow.
I was there for 4 years in Japan.
That must be a different culture.
Brilliant, brilliant. Unbelievable. But, you know, in a way, yes, it's been a challenge to do that. But, you know, fortunately, I married the right person.
That makes a huge difference, man.
Massive difference. And I've got two daughters, Melissa and Mariska, with two grandchildren, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They like the artery of, you know, you always, when there's tough times, they are the people close to you who will be there first for you to support, you know. But, you know, my wife was also a teacher. And
your daughter's looking in that direction as well, teaching?
The eldest
that it
one,
seems
she's,
to be a family?
She's running our nursery school at the moment.
Ah.
And the youngest one studied performing arts, also started at UCT.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're all busy with the nursery school at the moment in Cape Town.
And the two youngsters?
Yeah, the grandchildren, shame, they miss them to bits.
I
think
can imagine.
More than the wife and the daughters. But the grandkids, because I haven't had the time, because of the rugby schedules. Yeah. I've been away for long spells, you know, and my wife, she was looking after things. And
that takes a very special person to do that, to stay behind, to run the ship while you're somewhere else.
Absolutely, you know, when people do reach a bit of goals, success a little bit. You know, it's yeah. not the, you actually, but support base and sure. the wife. After elke man staan 'n successful vrou.
Verseker.
Funding, yeah, you know, yeah. Dion. So, yes, I missed out on some time with the kids.
Sure, sure.
You know, but the thing was always to give them a better sort of future and a better life, you know. But the grandkids, you know, I'm trying to make up that time that I lost with my own kids, you know, trying
yeah,
my best.
Of course.
But yeah, no, family is important to me, Dion. And even in the team, as a rugby national team, people think it's just professionals coming together. No, 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 no. Those are yeah. people who, like our first meeting, we open up, we there's a first point on the agenda is love and sorrow. So we would like to know about birthdays, about sure. anniversaries, small celebrations. And also when there's adversity at home or tough times.
Of course,
times.
That affects the player. It affects the mental strength of the entire team because if you know there's something going on at home. So how involved, how often do you as coach make contact with the other halves, be they girlfriends, wives or so on? Or is it not something that you often do, but I mean, you're aware of who is married to whom or who, you know, that sort of thing?
100%. First thing on our management team, I want to make sure we know each other's wives and yeah. And kids, you know. So yeah. how can we call ourselves a team and we say family first, we don't know this little things, you know.
Of course.
And, you know.
Of course.
Yes, the our main values in the Namibian national team that we try to uphold and to live yeah. is team first. That's the first one, service, but the team comes first.
Yeah, yeah.
The second one is we talk about care. C-A-R-E, care, and the C stands for commitment, the A, accountability, the R, respect, and the E, excellence.
Wow.
So, and then the third one, we call it haunt. A bit of dog. That's more behavior that you want to see, you know.
Okay. And what does the haunt stand for?
I know haunt has got no. I just want you to have grit and aggression. That's all, you know.
So tough haunt, yeah.
So those three sort of values that we really have sort of come across
yeah,
and so that is what we want. And as a team, we actually have awards for that. So in the week. After every week, after training, there's a service award
yeah, yeah.
that the player will get.
Oh, wow. So
there's we award the player who's shown care throughout that week.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
also, if you've played the guy who never stops playing and running and chasing, whether we're flipping behind or not, you know, but he doesn't yeah. give. That's a want award that we're looking at.
Grit,
but
determination, tenacity,
exactly,
getting in there.
You know, yeah. No skill necessarily, but just, you know, it comes got, from the
yeah,
heart.
Yeah, it's about his size for the heart and his exactly. own self.
And his own self, absolutely. So what we then do, Dion, is ons gee daai toekennings aan die speler, maar dit het niks te doen met die speler self nie. Dit is ja. Vir sy vrou, vir sy ma of iets, weet, soos 'n ja. Bos blomme of 'n ja. Lekker treatment by 'n massage parlor,
you know, exactly. Mense agter die scene.
Exactly, because it's never the people behind the scenes, it's always the player. But it's actually the people behind the player, the support that he gets.
Yeah.
You know, when he's down, how they sort of, you know, encourage and support. So those people never get to be rewarded. And that's one way, you know, in the team setup.
It's baie slim. Jy het obviously yeah. strategie al aan gewerk om seker te maak dat hulle wel ingetrek word.
Absolutely.
Want as hulle buitekant, buitestanders is, yep. dan hulle nie buy in.
Absolutely not, yeah.
So that's what it's all about.
And they are away from the families for most of the time.
Exactly.
So when we will be doing the capping late in the year in August,
yeah.
I think it's around the 18th of the 18th or the 19th of August.
Yeah.
Then that will be announcement in that week of the World Cup squad. So we'll have a capping ceremony where we'll invite the families.
Yeah.
You know,
of course,
mother, dad.
It's a very proud moment for
very,
them
very proud
to see
and to represent your country.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And just to say thank you to them. Mm. Or if you don't have your family here, then any other rugby mentor that
yeah.
played a huge or had a huge influence in your life will be invited.
Wow.
And then we cap the player and obviously that person will hand over the jacket and put over the jacket. It's
nice.
Just to make sure that die ouens is trots in hulle beers.
And although this making memories die. Want enig het hulle kinders en hulle kinders se kinders, dis toe oupa of pa Namibia verteenwoordig het. Dit is a big deal. I mean,
yeah.
Dink miskien nie so as jy dan daar staan nie of jy's 'n buitestander, maar dit is baie harde werk, dis baie trane om daar te kom en is goed dat hulle dit wel erken word.
Nee, dit is hoe wat dit so spesiaal maak.
Yeah.
En selfs ook sien die ouers of die wederhelft is Esau. Dis hoekom my man so opoffer. Ja. Vroeg oggend en soggens opstaan om gymnasium toe te gaan ja. En doodmoeg by die huis kom en dan sê so. Nee wat ek kan nie nou help hier met die kinders of ek kan nie hulle bad nie maar ek is ja. eet moeg
ek soek nou 'n bietjie me time
en exactly die... en maar hulle ja. verstaan hulle
nee,
verstaan
natuurlijk. Jy het 'n lysie songs vir ons by mekaar gesit toe ek so afscan met hom en dit is baie goeie keuses ek moet sê een van hulle wat uitstaan is Bee Gees se Words
ag
oh dis 'n classic daai ja, van nee, die tyd af
nee absoluut ek was maar groot aanhanger van die Bee Gees
maar jy dan obviously in daai tyd as jy in die 60s gebore is of jy in die 70s toe disco en die Bee Gees en so aan groot was sou jy 'n jong man gewees het
natuurlik dis wat ek maar gehoor het in die huis ook jy weet so
ja maar ons het met dit groot geword ouers het gesê hoor dit is wat hier is jy like it of jy los it anyway
en dit is as jy sê 'n woorde kan 'n ou maak of breek soms nê nee, so dis nogal iets waarvoor ek versigtig wees wanneer ek praat ook selfs
count your words jy daai wag vir die mond okay ons gesels binnekort meer en nog met Alistair Coetzee Die klankeraal van die Bee Gees met Words op Nova 103.5 en vir die geestes van Alistair Coetzee, hy kyk hier vanoggend saam met ons in die ateljee, die man is vroeg wakker koffie en nou is ons aan die gang. Gerard het gevra, coach Alistair, wat is jou meest trots oomblik tot dusver as 'n africhter? Kyk, jy het Springbokke gecoach, jy was deel van die wêreldbeker span in 2007 met die africhting en so en daar's baie hoogtepunte gewees.
Ja, absoluut Dion, ek dink wat Gerard het 'n bietjie geskok gaan wees, is dat dit eintlik nie gebaseer gaan wees op resultate nie. Nou rugby is nogal vir my iets wat mense nader aan mekaar bring.
Ja.
En vir my die hoogtepunte in my loopbaan tot dusver is wanneer jy vriende gemaak het. Jy weet, en jy ontmoet daai vriende wie die verhoudings korrek wat hou. Ja, so ek het 'n paar ek het in 1992 in die Suidsee eilande gaan speel.
Sjoe.
Ek het rugby gespeel, né? Nee, nog as 'n bietjie aan die einde van my loopbaan se kan ja. nie 30 sal. En in hierdie jaar by die Wêreldbeker konferensie in Frankryk. Dit was iewers in Mei wat ons die tier 2 lande bymekaar gekom het.
Ja.
Het ek van daai manne teen wie ek gespeel het in Samoa is betrokke by die spanne.
Ja.
En ons het mekaar onthou en dit is wat vir my 'n hoogtepunt is. Toe ons weer in hierdie raadsaal sit en ons kan connect met mekaar.
Ja, nou
mekaar.
As toe as spelers ja, nou
as administrateur so exactly. Ja. So dis een ding. En dan moet ek sê om in 'n elke toets wat nasionale span wen is 'n hoogtepunt.
Natuurlik.
Toets rugby is ongelooflik intens en kyk as jy nou kyk nou na Saterdag die Bokke teen Australië. As jy net kyk aan die week se voorbereiding, hoeveel energie, hoeveel werk in een toetsweek ingaan.
Ja.
Week so wanneer jy die toets wen, is dit asof jy is als dit bymekaar gekom, dit is sukses.
Ja, the bits and pieces
that all together done.
And now daar's 'n wen en dan begin jy maandag weer van vooraf.
Van nul af begin jy weer.
So, but you're only as good as your last game, né?
It's a celebration because how many million people will be watching and scrutinizing and auditing you as a person. So, you know, a lot of people work, but no one, never, they don't get audited. Maybe once a year, rugby test, yeah. toets, elke naweek, word jy soort van, jy weet. So, dis maar die dele. Dan ook, as jy in 'n wêreldbeker betrokke was, soos in 2007, onder Jake White se leiding, was ek betrokke met daai span, ongelooflik gewees, jy weet. Die spelers, na so 'n groot oorwinning of sukses is meer verlig as enigiets.
Ons het julle nie teleurgestel nie. Ons is teleurgestel of die coach teleurgestel.
That's it. Our families are so happy for us and the world and out there in South Africa.
Maar dit wys waar jou prioriteite lê, want dis belangrik dat dit wel so is. Dis alles goed om te sê dis ek, dis ons, dis die span. Maar wie anders benefit en is bly dat julle wat hulle die opoffering weer eens gedoen. So nou het julle vir hulle gewen en vir die land gewen.
Absoluut Dion and if I just go down a level lower, I mean I've been coaching Western Province and Stormers plus minus 8 years in and I was fortunate in the Cape it's quite tough to coach them, I mean especially when you come from outside Cape Town and you're not a Cape Town.
Yeah, when you've been in Bellville and having a beer there in one of the bars, that's one of sterk oor hulle club rugby and oor hulle.
Exactly. Oor hulle you province, haven't been so. To Marty's. So already there's, yeah, you know. there's yeah. a bit
you
of a problem. You can't
be UCT geweest it, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. Marty's, waar kom jou rugby achtergrond? Die eikies. You know, and to have won two Curry Cups there was also a big achievement. Just to see how the people function on a Monday, you know, I spoke to people working in factories. So coach, now kan ek leef.
Ja, nou kan ons weer vir 'n week lank asemhaal. Ek voel nou weer goed.
Daai boele, die boels, ons die bulle het ons, jy weet.
Maar dis amper een van die min plekke waar ek voel rugby in Suid-Afrika, alhoewel jy weet in Noord-Transvaal of Transvaal, hulle het voel sterk daaroor Vrystaat ook, maar in die Kaap veral, daar's dit amper soos wat sokker in Engeland is.
Correct.
Hoe die span gedoen het oor die naweek affekteer jou hele week. Die hele plek voel down as jy verloor het. Veral as jy teen die bulle verloor het, dan is ons in sak en as.
My maat, moenie praat nie. Dit is so. en ek kan vir jou die rede sê, Daaf, waarom het so is, Dion. Kyk, Kaapstad, die demografie van Kaapstad is net anders as Pretoria. Want jy kry die African Tosa wat rugby speel, jy kry die Moslem wat rugby speel, jy kry die kleerling wat rugby speel, dan kry jy ook die Afrikaner wat daar is en dan die Aitjie, die Engels ou. So dis jy weet 5 groepe en almal is passievol oor WP rugby en almal soek verteenwoordiging of wil identifiseer met die span.
Natuurlijk.
Dis hoekom een van WP se groot suksesse oor die jare was. Van Breiten Polse, hulle is daar af. Jy weet hoe hulle demografie van die span, die demografie van die span, die komposisie van die span, verteenwoordig al daar die soort van groepe, rassegroepe.
Ja.
En dit is eintlik 'n baie sterk punt van WP oor die jare gewees.
Ja, so gepraat daarvan, dis een van daai groot dinge wat ons bietjie later oor gaan gesels, die unifying ability van rugby. En as 'n mens kyk na die bad old days, toe almal nie kon saam speel nie, en almal het geweet, die mense in rugby het geweet, as jylle net kon saamspeel, sal die ding homself uitsorteer.
Yep.
Maar as mense wat van buite af gesê het, nee, jylle kan nie. En ek weet dat dit baie mense, ek seker jy wat in daai stelsel gespeel het, moes ook gevoel het, dis ongelooflik frustrerend, wetend, wat se talent hier is, wat nooit daar geleentheid kry nie.
Correct,
en dit het niks met hulle ability te doen.
Absoluut niks, maar net die veldkleer, en dit is altyd maar baie gevoelige gesprek as mense oor rasse en kleer praat en goed. En ek het gelukkig nou het ek albei wêrelde beleef, jy weet. Ja. Ek was in die ou bedeling in die nie-rassige Suid-Afrika en waar daar geglo was dat jy nie jy weet die apartheid stelsel moet ondersteun deur teen die wit spanne te speel nie, omdat jy na wedstryd maar na jou eie hokkie toe moet gaan.
Yeah,
moes gaan, jy weet, so jy kan ook nie sekere areas speel nie en al daai goed, maar ek is nie spyt oor my verlede nie. Jesus, dit het my eintlik sterker gemaak en dit my, ek dink, 'n beter persoon gemaak om albei wêreld te verstaan, jy weet. En dit is maar nou so, as ons maar net lankal hierdie, jy weet, ding kon uit die weg uit, of van die wetboeke af kon kry, dan was ons al baie, baie sterker, en ek is so bly waar ons nou is. Baie mense sien dat transformatie struikelblok is, maar nee, dit is glad nie, as het recht toegepas word, is het a wenner vir die land.
Verzeker.
En ons sien nou, en dan sien spelers soos Cheslin Colby, Kynan Moody, en Arends Mannetjie, Mani Libok, Sia Kolisi. Daar was baie duisende van hulle in die ou bedeling.
Dit is altyd die sad deel daarvan, wie nie deurbraak gekry of geleentheid gekry nie, vir die verkeerde redes.
Ja, absoluut. En ek nog by WP ook afgerig, dit ek seker gemaak, ek kies Merite. Maar dis my Merite, jy weet.
Is baie moeilik om het te valt, om te kan sê, hoor hier so, dit is, hy speel goed op die stadium, of hy verdien een kans, whatever die rede is, as daar justifiable rede is, dan denk ek gaan mense pijn hee daarmee.
Nee, absoluut, en ou wil net seker maak, dat jy alle speler, ongeag van veldkleer, dieselfde behandel. Maar ek het dit as 'n sterkpunt gesien by WP. Ons is byvoorbeeld, net om hier ons span kultuur te versterk. Ek sê, boys, ek was nog nooit in 'n moskee nie, maar wanneer jy weet, daar is nie saamkaar.
Exactly.
Hy is 'n moslim voorspeler.
Vat ons sien toe, dan join ons jou, dat ons kan sien hoe jy lewe.
Precies, Reinhard Elsted was 'n plaasie man. Hy tel 'n skaap en gooi die ding in 2-3 sekondes is op sy skouer gegooi in 'n trok. Jy weet dat's plaas toe gaan. En ons kyk wat die Afrikaner seën moe, wat is sy lewe?
Wys
en hoe groot wat jy wat maak hom tik, jy weet.
Ja, maar dit gaan oor frame of reference. As jy nie weet waarvan af iemand kom nie, you can't understand what he's thinking. Coach will be back. Speel gou ads en dan het ons 'n spesiale song.
That get your scratch and dent cover for your car today with King Price Insurance. Simple, cheap insurance by Namibians in Namibia. SMS King to 44000 for a quote. T's and C's apply.
Ons is nou so 3 minute weg van die nuus af om 7. Ek kuier saam met Alistair Kutsi, hy is in die ateljee saam met my. Vicky Sampson, my African dream. Jy het 'n African dream, ons het 'n Namibian dream.
Well, Dion, Namibia is part of Africa, so my African dream, whether it's South Africa, Namibia, obviously would like to make sure we win 2 games at the World Cup this year. That would be my...
2 games?
2 games, my man.
If that happens, I'm taking you out for a night on the town and we are not going to walk home. We're going to be driven home. I'm telling you that, coach.
Look, we're going to shoot
for... Excel in the queue would stand, but I'll buy me as it is, but it will be...
No, we want to shoot for the stars and hopefully sure. We land on the moon, my man, by getting that first win, but we're going for 2 wins, Dion.
Wow. Nova 103.5, your life, your music, bit of news there. We are spending some time this morning with Alistair Kutsia. He's the man behind the Namibian team. The preparation is going well. A training camp has just been done a week or two ago, and the next one is on the way. But coach, let's just quickly talk about the reality of this. This is the elephant in the room. When the team does well, and that's from the best teams in the world till the worst, I mean, the All Blacks, doesn't matter who they are. If a team wins, the team wins. The All Blacks win. It's not Joe Soap who wins. When the team does badly, it's Alistair Kutsia, the coach, who screwed up, not the team normally, right? And I mean, that's a tough thing to have to live with because you're almost kind of setting yourself up there for criticism.
No, 100%, Dion. I think, you know... Like they say, it comes with a package. So it's part of a coach's job is to get results. Yeah, but the coach on the other end is also human. You know. Sure. Sometimes there's criticism, which is, you know, completely just negative and, you know, can break some people. Yeah, but as a coach over the years, you got to distinguish between, you know, what is relevant and what is really just crap, you know, and it's got to be like water over duck's back. You got to make sure this is definitely something.
They've got a point here. They've seen something that I might have missed, or we can work on. Fair enough.
Perfect. And look, if you, like I alluded to, you get audited every weekend. You get scrutinized, and it's not just in your little office; it's out in the public.
And
every media guy, you know, has got an opinion, and he's played so many test matches. He knows how to coach. He's been so successful.
We are the best when it comes to talking a game, mate. That's how.
Yeah.
It works.
Well, fair enough. It will be there, and it's how you interpret and how you see and you manage that. You know. I've been working with the press. It's important for me to get the message out what we're actually doing, what a test weekend tells. A lot of people don't understand how important the well-being of a player is to get the player fit to be able to play. Sure. You know, there's a call in terms of selection. There's a medical opinion that is needed. Yeah. There's a specialist opinion that is needed. You make that call. So you go through a lot of stresses during the week to get the tactics right and the right team. Yeah. And if a player misses a penalty in front of the poles, you still get the flag.
Of course, as if you kicked it.
Because a Namibian team would have lost then, you know, and not the player missed the kick. But those are the things. For me, it's not it's important how the player who made this big mistake doesn't see that we lost because of him.
Yes.
You know, and that it happens. Yes. To the best of them out there. Sure. Guys missing penalties in World Cup soccer. Guys missing big kicks, you know, things like that. It's part of the game, but it's how we learn from it and how we're getting strong out of that.
How important is that part of the coaching job to make sure that they don't take all of that on board and that you, to some extent, deflect criticism from the press, for example, on specific players that they might then see and it's kind of your job as a coach to... to build them up again and say, look, you know, don't worry about that. I'll take the flak about that. You guys worry about the game.
And that's where your value system will guide you.
Yeah.
We say we've got care as a value, then that's where I've got to show how I care about the player.
Sure.
You know, and the player must take accountability for that. He'll do something to improve and to get it right. But I've got to make sure that I manage that situation well. Never criticize a player opening the newspaper on
in
public.
Of course, yeah.
You know, get...
I'm sure you'll take it up with somebody if they're doing something wrong. That's part of your job.
Is that correct? Yeah.
But it is done privately. It is done man for man or in a team setup.
You know, I've got a philosophy also. I'm never going to be negative and personal in... video sessions. Yes, sure. I'll be hard in one-on-ones with players. And I'll show out what is system errors, not individual errors, because the player know when he makes a mistake.
Yeah.
They don't make mistakes on purpose.
It's a mistake.
He feels bad already. You know, what I want is players to own up. If they made something or just say, man, sorry, my mistake or whatever.
You often see that guys on the field, hand up,
that
saying,
is
guys,
accountability. I can see.
And I kicked it out instead of it bouncing and then 100%. Going out.
So now I can see he's taking responsibility, accountability.
So,
and then we can go from there. But it's important to make sure you don't break players down, be negative. Always go back to your value system where you've got care. And the player will see then that these value systems are actually alive. It is meaningful.
Yeah, it's all good and well to say you've got a value system unless you're living it.
And you, exactly. You
and
live
of course,
it
you set the example there because you're the boss, man. They look up to you. Rightly or wrongly, whatever you do and don't do, that is what sort of streams and forms the culture as such. Yeah.
So true. So then when you raise children or you work with a group of different personalities in a rugby team, the only thing that can really unify you is your value system and your culture. So you've got to be always have that as your reference point. And, you know, players are clever. They're not stupid.
Sure.
So consistency is crucial. You got to be consistent with
in
discipline.
Applying them as well,
absolutely.
And of course, fairness across the board.
Fairness
just because he's a senior player, he doesn't get treated differently from a junior player.
100%. I always love my senior players to run in front at trainings. They've got to be there first. You know, that's
sure,
where...
But you're showing the other guys how to do it. You've
that's
been
why
there.
They're senior players. You're not a senior player because of my reputation. No.
Yeah.
Because of what you're doing now.
Reputation, I believe, the big thing is reputation doesn't count for anything, except in the case of Bucky's Puerta, where it was... No, but I mean, there's a lot of that, right? I mean, I think when you're that kind of a level sports person, no matter what it is, you to some extent as a sports person depend to some extent on your reputation.
Yep.
You like when you go and stand in front of the All Blacks and they're doing the haka and they know most teams now are weeing quietly in their pants because of this thing.
Yep.
I mean, that kind of works, but you have to also do the opposite.
Exactly. When you not disrespect that or you're fearless, you don't fear that challenge, then you must back it up with action. Then you must show the people.
Yeah.
Jebus, look how Bucky's is cleaning the people, tackling and carrying.
Yeah.
Then you can say, yeah, oh, that guy's reputation.
Hardcore.
Yeah, he's hardcore.
A horn diet.
Yeah, he's an eister. Eh?
For sure. Okay, another song. And we're going to talk food after this. All right, Commodores, Night Shift, classic from the 1980s. Alistair nou sê, jy werk night shift as jy rugby coach is. Kom ons praat eers gou-gou. Antoinette het gevra, of wag, kom ons voor ons daai doen, kom ons gaan gou-gou na die lyne toe. Now, good morning.
Morning, Dion. Robin here.
Yes.
Can you perhaps get a message out to the Oaks on the road between Usakos and Karibib about halfway? There was almost a massive pile of these, one of these Angolan trucks standing without any warning, covering almost both lanes.
All right, no problem at all. So a truck is blocking some lanes there, right?
Yeah, the sun coming up now. You can't see anything in front of you. There's no warning boards. There's nothing.
Cool, we'll do that. Thank you so much. All right, so please, folks, if you are traveling in between Karibib and Usakos, there's a vehicle blocking the road there, and with the sun just about to come up, it's very dangerous. There was almost an accident there. We're talking rugby with Alistair Kutsia. Alistair, I had a question from, looks like Stephanie. What do you like to eat? I mean, if you're in the rugby field, we're assuming braai is quite high on the list. But what are your favorite dishes and do you cook? Are you do you make food yourself?
Quite a difficult one to answer. But yes, Dion, you know, I have to cook for myself because I'm, you know, alone of myself. When my wife is here, no problem. I know she will look after me. I don't have a, you know, sort of a special menu. When you're in South Africa, Namibia, red meat is probably...
For sure.
It's a moot. You get braai is a moot. And so red meat is definitely top of the list. And all the dishes that you make with... you can make with red meat, no, you know?
Because Stephanie also, when I spoke to her earlier, she actually said because you are now from the Western Cape, you spend a lot of time there, and you are coloured, they have a very specific cuisine in the Western Cape that's very well known. And do you like the dishes that's sort of part of that culture?
Yeah, look at especially the Malay dishes.
Yes, the Mabutis of the world. And the
curries that they make, you know, you get the rotis that they make.
And your wife cooks these as well?
Of course, she do get tips, and especially my two daughters. Yeah. That's what they studied at school as well. Yeah. Domestic science, and they got a good understanding. They're in the pasta line and lighter meals, and you know, so yeah, there's a variety. There's no specific one, but I do love my veggies. You know, my grandmother would have been very proud of me, you know, loving his veggies. So it's just also because you're in an environment where you rugby players, nutrition refueling
incredibly
is a big part of a top performance or an athlete to perform.
Again, you have to kind of lead by example. You can't stand there with a sugary soft drink and a garage pie telling them, "Moriso yemen o moi eet wat op die lys staan." I mean, it also
doesn't
work, right?
You know, your Coke and garage pie, those days are out, you know, like you say. We've got to make sure that it's part of the player well-being and in order for them to perform. So nutrition is vital. And you take a lot of those kind of tips also to stay healthy.
Yeah,
and you go make that kind of food, you know, a veggie, a salad, a wrap, and your little morning little snack with your porridge.
And you've got dietitian involved who works out your program for the guys to make sure they get everything they need.
We would have loved to have a full-time dietitian to monitor the players and even the coaches as well during the day, what they eat. It's important that we eat right during the day. We've got two sessions a day now. So when the players come in the morning at 8, we've got a whole kitchen rigged out, a kitchen at the stadium at the Huggy Gein Kop. So the players make their porridge, their little smoothies, their healthy
their breakfast
stuff.
Yes, sorted out there
before they go into their first session, which is a tough gym session.
Okay.
So after the gym session, they'll probably have a unit meeting and then a unit training, and that
a little
will
bit
take
of recovery
us
at that point.
After
not too heavy in terms
exactly
of
exactly. They come off the field after the first session, then they'll have dates like bananas to replenish with some energy drinks. Not sugary, really. And all that biltong is there is a good healthy snack.
Yeah, that's always
you
nice.
The protein
it's
as well.
So, low fat and protein heavy. So,
and then they go for lunch. After lunch, there's an afternoon session, and they'll be back home after recovery by 4:30, 5 o'clock. You know,
but that's
it's a full day. It's a full day. So Monday, Tuesdays, we go double sessions. Wednesday, Wednesday, they were off completely, but also more recovery.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, yesterday, we had one session, and today, a full day again. Then we.
Look, I'm pretty sure on the day off, they probably would have had homework from their unit, you know, sort of guys as well.
Yes.
Think about this, think about that. You know, you don't just, it's not a day off as
correct.
Such.
It's not,
you
just it's, not, you it's, don't it's have a recovery day. A recovery and learning.
Yeah.
So with the. Technology nowadays, you know, you just WhatsApp a few clips, put it on their phones or get out there. This is what we can. So when they come back the next day, there's already a learning been done. Then you don't have to spend hours in meetings to explain again, you know.
Yeah.
So yes, it's a busy day. It's a full day. And coming back to the nutrition, it's really, you made a joke about the garage pie and the Coke, you know. So sometimes you train after training. As an amateur, you finish about 8 o'clock because you knock off at 5.
Yeah.
Get to the field 5:30, then you start. You know, come there. You get there on a hungry, stomach. You train now. After training, you're so hungry. The nearest place you can stop
yeah,
as a garage. You know whether you're going to put in petrol or that. That's a garage buy and the Coke, you know, and
pocket chips
and yeah, exactly. And you know, so it's counterproductive. You put in a lot of effort and getting the body physically prepared, but the body hasn't got the enough energy to perform at a level, you know. So nutrition important. I'm not fuzzy about food. I basically almost eat everything, anything. Yeah. And I must say, the meat in Namibia is superb.
Ooh, now look, that's a fight. If you're a vegetarian in this country, battle you.
Now you're a battle.
You can eat that murky yet, but if you don't even have that, don't you throw drama. Yeah. Okay, we've got one more question. Realistically, you were saying you guys are shooting for two wins at the World Cup. At which point is your contract supposed to end with you in Namibia here? Or and at this point, are you happy with what's happening with the team? Are you getting there? You feel you on par for being ready to do what you want to do when you go to the World Cup?
To be honest,
got 2 months left.
To be honest with you, maybe no, because the big thing for any coach is to spend time with the players.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of our top players are playing abroad.
Yeah.
So you don't really have the time. Sure. With the players.
Yeah.
So we're still waiting on 5 players to come back.
Sure.
Two in America who are currently playing club rugby.
Yeah, that's it. They're in the championship. Yeah, in the playoffs.
Yeah, in fact, this coming weekend is a final. Vian Conradi, Leroux Milan. So once they played and you touch wood, praying that everything is come back healthy, you know. So they'll be coming back. Then the two South Africans who have been part of the Cheetahs Curry Cup success.
It's the Aranos.
Aranos and Louis van der Wesse. They'll be arriving tomorrow or today.
Babbeleer hulle nog van daai tyd af, en ek dink die Vrystaat het 'n groot party.
Hulle het, maar hulle het al ons programme gekry ook en ook ons toetsing, ons basiese baseline test dat hulle
ook. Ja, so hulle moet op daai standaard wees.
They're gonna come here. They run a Bronco and a Bronco stuff if you haven't, you know. As jy te veel geparty het. In elk geval, but to get that group together and spend more time with them. Yeah. But you know, we've got to make do with the time we have. Right, so that's the first thing, and I think it's not unrealistic to set those goals. The first game in the World Cup, Italy is a very, very very good side.
Yeah,
I mean they play Six Nations on a regular basis.
They've made huge inroads since when they started. I know they used to be the whipping boys of the Six Nations,
and not anymore because there were talks that they must be kicked out of Six Nations because they're not at the same level. But geez, they've beaten Wales.
They now there. I mean, they've beaten the Springboks. Yeah. They've beaten quite a few international sides.
No, they're right up there, and their players. Mostly based there in Italy at the moment. So that's advantage. Look, the box have been also everyone in a 3-4 week camp, and they're playing championship now. So you also look to have that kind of sort of parity there.
Yeah.
But what I've seen and what we are doing at the moment, the program that you're running, the coaches that and the consultants that are in, you know, they're really doing a good job. And I must say the NRU, have been very supportive because people don't also understand. These players must come in, they must be accommodated, they must be fed, they must have transport.
Yeah, but there's a hell of a lot of, like you were saying, the admin work behind it, applications for passports, for documents, for all of that
and
stuff
must
be ready.
And you've got to pay for Schengen visas, you've got to, plot all the applications and appointments, and it's not easy. When you go to Home Affairs, it's Home Affairs. When you go to an embassy, it's an embassy.
Yeah, you
it's
wait. Not, yeah, it listen, takes we, time because you're rugby.
Whenever you're a national team and I want to get treated like, you know, differently, I'm first in the queue. No. So we've got to cross all the T's and dot the I's. And it's
the paperwork has to be done and it has to be right. You don't want to fill out last minute. There's a problem and somebody has to stay
correct.
Home. That's
just,
the last thing.
And just on that, John, you know, people, we got to take 33 players, a squad of 33 to World Cup. But you've got to make sure that you have 10 extra players on standby, ready with visas.
Literally, almost like when you're about to have a baby.
Absolutely.
If the call comes,
you grab the bag and you run.
You've got to run.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so we've got a turnaround time from one match to, I think it's 6 days. And some 5 days in the World Cup. So if there's, you pick up 2 major injuries and you've got to fly a player in, then you can't then ask, but is this guy here, has he got a Schengen to go to France? You know,
now, are you ready? Is he fit enough?
That's why we're working with a big squad. So some of those guys who don't make the initial 33 will be on the shortlist the extended group, you know.
Yeah, so it's not like you, I mean, they're not out of it anyway. They are still there, and you're just ready. You might have to just step in.
No, definitely. And I've got three under 20 players.
Yeah.
Under 20 players in the mix in the squad. And it's amazing how they thrive on working with the senior players and test players and also from the different coaches and that, you know.
That's really important, that development, that you sort of mentioned that, because we've seen that working very successfully in cricket here.
Yeah.
Over the last 2 or 3 years, that whole idea of succession, the pipeline feeding the next generation of players through. And of course, if they now the youngsters, even if they just go along and they never get to play, they see what is involved in that. And they are the next generation of senior players. Are you seeing that coming through now where you guys have got a unified? I know you were out in the regions and talking to the clubs and all that as well.
Because the aim is not 2027, but 2030, the next World Cup.
Yeah, 32, I think, probably.
No, 31.
31, yeah.
31.
Yeah.
So it's now it's 23, then you have 27 and 31. 31. So we plan for 2023 with the idea of winning games, not wanting to win them.
Yeah.
Knowing you're going to win in 27 a game, and then the next one, we must be...
Long-term goals are there already.
Maybe the last 16, you know, World Cup. So that's why we start bringing in young guns and looking at the under-20s, because they are the next generation for the 2027 World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is also, obviously, if you then... if it's done like that, in the sense that there's long-term planning, even if you, as Alistair, is no longer here, and you decide to take up another challenge somewhere... Whether you renew or not, the 100%. Plan is in place.
The plan is in place.
The new coach can step in and move on from there.
Correct. When the new coach will step in, there will be IP, intellectual property, belonging to Namibia, will be left here. What the new coach wants, he can keep. And he wants to change, but there will be something. There will be policies of how to attack, defend, break down, and how we do things. So that will be in place. And I think the mandate from my side was never just to come here and just coach and then you go away. So it's to develop players on the one end and also coaches on the other end. Make sure that the consultants that I bring in, the local coaches really learn from the experience of the international coaches and also develop and grow. And I think one area where we have to get better at is also looking at the referees in upskilling and do some personal development with the referees as well, you know, because the game and the standard of the game will never improve if the standard of
unless the refereeing
the
improves.
Teams, the coaching, players and the referees as well.
And of course, I mean, it's a complicated game. If you take football has 12 or 13 rules or something, that's it. It's always been like that.
Yeah.
Rugby is a book full of rules and they are quite dynamic. They change very often. So you need to be very much on your game if you are a referee. It's almost like you're studying all the time. What is the latest? What are we seeing that they might change because it's not working or this might need to be brought in? So it is something that's quite serious in the sense that it's almost a job as well.
Very serious about it, because everything revolves around the safety of the game. If parents don't want their children to play,
you're not looking after bad tackles,
then
and
they're
going to
take their kids out of there and they put them somewhere else. So now that's important for referees to make sure that they understand and keep the game safe and look after players on the field and not allow things to happen and the players will keep doing different things. So the safety is important, the referees are important to understand it and to implement it and to manage so yes, a box smart is a big thing, which all coaches a certificate which we should have before you can coach, and also referees before they can. It's just making sure that player's safety. Example, you can't take a player that is 70 or 65 Ks and you put him in the front row and he scrums again. against a 100 kg boy.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at schoolboys these days,
yes,
some of them are huge. And because the training and conditioning starts so much earlier these days. Ons het nog kaas en wyn rugby op standaard 8 gespeel. You know what I'm saying? Well, coach, it blew a bit. It's all right. Walk it off. It's okay.
Gooi net water.
Ja, it's all right. They say, eight is, bel ons niemand. Die staan op haar hart op jou pa. Kom nou.
Yeah, and, so, and you do get catastrophic
You have to be
injuries.
So careful. Yes. I mean, it's life-altering. People stink.
Absolutely.
Kids breaking their necks and stuff.
Absolutely.
You have to know what you're doing because you're working with really strong, powerful, even youngsters these days. And contact sport is a contact sport.
Yeah. That is why when you see red cards are dished out or yellow cards, it's about height, head clashes, high tackles. So that's why I say referees are as important as
coaches. Well, they keep it safe,
and
essentially.
Make sure they develop the game, their skill as well. Yeah, so my big thing is make sure that when I'm not here anymore, at least the legacy that you leave behind, make sure that the standard of our club rugby is at a higher level. We've got better players, we've got better coaches, we've got better referees.
Well, look, I mean, just to reference the cricket side as well, they brought in from South Africa, the current CEO. He does a magnificent job, and it's also because you've done it at on a different level, different stage.
Yep.
You have the same insight and what needs to be done. Once the structures are there, hopefully the next person can much more easily just move into it.
Correct.
Rather than having to reinvent the wheel
every time. Start all over again. Yeah. Because when there's a new cycle and you almost start from scratch again.
Yes.
So
yes.
You've got to build on the positives of the previous cycle. That is what I did with Phil Stuff, you know.
Yeah.
When he was here, there are a few things that I really think it's good. Keep that.
Yeah.
The others, you get your identity on it.
Sure. Yeah.
But don't just chuck out the baby with the bathwater.
If you keep restarting every time, you're basically putting the players on a new learning curve.
And you go back to scratch.
Completely different. 100%. I mean, if you're never good
leer. Yeah.
And
you
don't improve.
Yeah.
You just start from scratch to step two.
In every organization, and especially in sport, where there's continuous change, there's no stability, there's no continuity. So you won't get that improvement and you won't see it, you know.
Yeah.
So those are really important things, continuity. And let's make sure we get this young group of players, we identify them early. They've got sort of timelines where we expect certain performance criteria from them. And, you know, then we won't guess or hope 2027 we'll win a game in Australia.
Yeah.
Then we know we're going to win.
And of course, every single World Cup gives you insight to where you did well and where you are failing.
100%.
And that, again, guides the next step. I know you guys are spending a lot of time, for example, on size for the pack, because it's all about the scrum, but also mobility. You can't have big, huge, lumbering guys who walk around the pitch. Want hulle wag net vir die volgende scrum.
Yeah,
they have to do other things as well.
Yeah, Namibia have to be different, you know, in terms of the way they want to play, because we don't have that size, but we must use the skill and the pace that we've got, you understand? Therefore, we need to move the ball a bit and get excited when people kick on us and we have a full go. So it's how we train our skill under pressure to move the contact point and to move the ball, and hopefully we can score tries.
No, but during Mzansi Challenge, some of those matches, there were passages of play in one game, almost the entire first half. It was incredible what they were doing. And you could see a marked difference say, 6 months ago. It's not there all the time, but I don't think for anybody it's ever there all the time until it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
But it was going fast. You can see there's a plan and you can see it's being executed properly. And that led to tries, and it did really well.
And I was very pleased with the Mzansi Challenge. You know, like I, in the review, we could have played in the playoffs. But, you know, for team or for club players, for their first year after how many years been out of first-class rugby, you know, coming together, really in every game they had a chance, give themselves a bar, the Falca, which just overpowered us physically.
Yeah.
We were all in all the games, you know, and we had
you were in there all the
three
time.
Losses, 1
of
point,
which two were
5 points,
and
very close, 7 points, you know, so could have gone either way, but it was a good start to see that the club players, their conditioning is at a better level. So next year they will be much better. better off, you know, and sure. At least it'll be the second year next year in the Mzansi Cup. So these competitions are important for Namibia, because Namibia in the past, from club rugby, they jumped to international rugby.
Yeah, there's no gap in between. There's no gap.
Now we will go to regional setup next year. Then we go to Mzansi. Then we have
obviously
Africa.
That one then without the international players or players playing other places, but the local guys then get that opportunity because the internationals are out or playing for Free State or whoever.
And their jump won't be that, you know, so there's constant the next step, you know, which can take them to international rugby without being overawed, out-muscled, out-conditioned, you know. So those are all the building blocks that are currently being put in place.
We've got one more song coming up, then one more chat with Alistair. We could actually spend 4 hours doing this. This is another one of your choices. Rika Snell, Harde Kola.
This area can you clear? This
Harde Kola, ja nee, daar gaan Harde Kola gekou word by die Wêreldbeker, maar jy sê 2 oorwinnings, dis die fokus. Jy skiet vir die sterre en ek dink dis 100%, ek dink dis hoe dit moet wees. Don't dream small, dream big.
Absolutely Dion. Ek dink die spelers besef ook dat ons kan nie verwag enigsins iemand anders moet vir ons selfvertroue gee nie. Ons moet ons selfvertroue in onsself kry en ons voorbereiding, hoe ons werk met mekaar en die plan wat op die tafel is. En dit volg, jy weet, en ons moet hoog mik. Jy weet, ou kan nie as jy die spyker laag in die muur kap, man, dis waar die prentjie gaan hang. Kom ons kap hom hoog.
Precies, ja, jy moet hom hoog kap.
Dat almal hom kan sien, ja.
So, jylle, die wedstrijd wat volg, eerst sien is Italië.
Yep.
Like you say, Six Nations, 'n span wat baie goed doen op hierdie stadium in die laaste 5-6 jaar. Fenomenaal verbeter. So that's going to be a tough one, but again, all the games at the World Cup are tough. People aren't at the World Cup omdat hulle ingekom het verniet. They earn their place there.
Nee, 100%, dit is die wêreld verhoog. Jy moet op jou beste wees. Jy kan nie wegkruip nie. Ons het geen ander opsie om elke wedstrijd ons beste op ons beste te wees. Elke speler, al 33, moet op hulle beste wees, elke naweek. Jy weet, ons wil baie kompeterend wees. Ek dink, as it is called, a performance union, the so-called all the tier 2 countries, Chile, us, Uruguay, you know, Samoa, and they're getting support and funded by World Rugby. They call performance unions, and you know, it will please them when they see we do well at the World Cup.
Yeah,
we're giving the guys with the bigger budgets a run for their money, the tier 1 countries. So that is when you go play New Zealand. I'm a realist. I don't know, miracles do happen, but you just got to make sure that you perform against these
but
guys.
But I tell you what, the one thing that we always find, and we somehow end up against New Zealand however many times, almost on every occasion, the guys have been clapped off the field by the All Blacks. Now that, where I'm coming from, is as good as a win. Because if they respect you that much, and they are arguably now the best team in the world still, that's a huge feather in Namibia's cap.
100%. And I watched one of the photos the other day, and I saw Sam Kane swapping jerseys, I think, with Tommaso Forbes.
Yeah.
And I can tell you one thing, with my experience with the Kiwis, they don't swap. A player will never swap a jersey with another player unless he deserves it.
Yeah, very much so.
So that is a massive compliment to a player when he gets a New Zealand jersey or a guy swapped with him, you know. Yeah, and that is what we would like to go out there and do. And every match just give 100 and empty the tank.
Well, look, that's the point. I mean, you can just do your very best. Yeah. If you can stand up afterwards and say, you know what, okay, it didn't work for us today, but I played my best. I mean, that's all as supporters that we can ask for. But it's good to see there's a good captain behind the steering wheel. It hasn't always been the case. Partykeer het die ouens maar bietjie blind gestuur in die middel van die nag sonder 'n liggie. Maar dit is goed om te sien daar's 'n plan, dis te belangrik. Ek meen mense moet 'n plan kan sien. Ons hoor jou, jy gesels met die mense dat ons weet wat doen julle. Nie dat dit ons job is om julle te kritiseer nie, maar dis lekker om te sien hoeveel moeite en effort en hart in die ding ingaan.
Nee, dit is deel van die visie, Dion, dat ons weet hoe lief enige land is oor sy nasionale spanne. En ons moet seker maak dat ons daai ondersteuning moet behou. En hoe behou ons dit? Nie net deur wenne nie, maar ook vir die mense te wys wanneer ons die trui aantrek, nee, sal ons als gee. Our DNA is our work rate on the field and our effort. And that is not a skill.
Yeah.
That is just pure coming out from the heart, you know. Yeah. And it's an intrinsic thing. It comes from inside. And you wear that, your badge.
Yeah.
And you know, you represent your country. That's what the one thing is. And people must see that. And they can relate to the land of the brave. And they see how brave their boys are on the field, you know. Dit maak ons ook trots as 'n span vir mekaar. We look each other in the eyes. Ons in die kringetjie staan. Kyk ons mekaar in die oë. Dat is nie 'n ou wat afkyk of...
Nou, dan word nie, daar is nie nou weg. Nee.
Ja, ek sta nou, dit is, kom hierdie spel so, fantastiese spel is, jy weet, die ou, praat van die manne. Ja, die manne staan... omarm mekaar en hulle trek lekker styf en hy trek styf is ek gee om vir jou, jy gee om vir my, kom ons gaan
speel
doen die ding
mekaar,
saam, ja, dis precies, jy weet, en so, coach, die klein small victories that are important,
verseker,
that's
wat volgende vir julle, volgende is die swak op
next, we've got the last of your players are in we've got two sessions, one today and if they do well today I'll cancel tomorrow's session,
jy moet operate,
and then give them off more time for recovery because they are working hard and they've been
and you've got to balance that now. You don't want to put people in injuries now because you're brain training too hard.
So then it's an extra day for recovery. Then we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Hagi Gynkob.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday we go down to Swakopmund for the second camp. Like new five guys are coming in. They haven't been in, you know, involved in camp one. So it's just getting to know them as well. Sharing, we actually
and reintegrating. I mean, they know many of the players, but they haven't played together for.
Let me tell you a story. In camp one, two guys were together at school. After that, they've never seen each other again.
Wow.
Until they met at a camp in Midgard, eh? And
that's
so they actually sort of were partners. So the activity was, you must get to know your pal partner better and talk about him. And, you know, those kind of things is where you start learning more about the next person you play with, you know. So it will be similar, getting to know each other, come from different clubs to country. That is a focus. So we've got to think country now and not clubs anymore. If you look at where we're playing, man, it's all over the world, you know. So now we try to make it a country focus and Namibian focus. And also we have an open day at Swakop where people
can come and
see the training, watch the training and, you know, mingle with the players. Take a photo or two and it's really open to the public. And I know we've had great support down in Swakop when we played the Leopards there. So hopefully we can get the same sort of vibe down there.
Okay, now just one more question. The players themselves, there must now be a kind of a nervous excitement because it's not far. This 64 slaapies, dan is dit seker tyd.
Yep.
So ek dink hulle moet seker nou nogal, jy weet jy, party aan 'n slaap jy lekker want jy's moeg, jy het hard gewerk, dan word jy die nag wakker, gaan jy ouens is net 2 maande. Dis seker tyd. Ja, dis excitement.
Nee, dit is groot opwinding, Dion. Ek dink die belangrikste vir die spelers is om eers nou die Wêreldbeker eers een kant te skuif en fokus op die Nasiebeker wat nou kom.
Ja.
So hulle kondisionering is in plek. Eers ek gee alles in my oefening, ek verstaan. Die kennis is daar oor Jesus, daar's soveel goed soos mense dink jaar klop net op en speel rugby. Nee, daar's is nogal baie leerwerk. So die kennis is daar. Ons probeer om die spelers op verskillende maniere, jy weet, te onderrig en so. Is nie net ek praat en goed nie, hulle vra baie vrae en so leer hulle maar. So ons maak seker dat hierdie spelers reg voorberei gaan wees vir die Nasiebeker.
En ekskuus, wanneer vertrek julle?
Die Nasiebeker. Ons vertrek na die kamp in Swakopmund, sal die span aangekondig word die 20ste, die 19de.
Ja.
Julie, ons vertrek dan die 23ste. So die spelers na die kamp kry 2 dae af, kan hulle nou 'n bietjie tyd met die familie spandeer. En al die goedjies insit en maak seker hy's het gepak en dan vertrek ons die 23ste Augustus na Uruguay. Ons speel Argentinië 15-tal, dan speel ons vir Uruguay en dan die laaste is Chile in Santiago.
Awesome. Dan is het terugkom en dan is het basis
terugkom,
net die laaste, dan is het gereed om te gaan amper, ne? Dan is het...
Finale aankondiging van die 33, gee my slaaploose nachte, van is moeilik om 45 en 33 in te kry. het pas nie altyd nie, het pas nooit. Maar ons moet dit maak pas, so ons gaan die beste span kies, wat die land moet gaan verteenwoordig. Daarna is die 26ste die laaste Augustus, die laaste voorbereidende wedstryd teen die Bulle op Bakkiegankops.
Ja, dit gaan 'n groot een wees. Ons gaan hom uitpak daar verseker.
Absoluut, en dis die span wat dan wêreldbeker toe sal gaan.
Alistair Goodseer, well-known rugby man, well-known rugby coach, of course, Namibia's current World Cup coach. Ons sien uit daarna dat die span goed gaan doen. Ek sê nou vir jou, ek het so vaal vermoed dat kan nog 'n surprise wees hierdie jaar. En as dit is, dan word jy uitgeneem en jy gaan huis toe gery word. Dan word jy gestap.
Jou, dankie.
Want dit sal vir jou ding wees vir die bo. Ek sê jou, die land sal verstom wees as dit gebeur. Dit gaan nie daaroor nie. As jy ons 'n goeie performance opsit, dan sal ons happy wees. En ons is bly om te sien wat gebeur. Ons is bly om te sien dat daar 'n plan is en dat daar 'n man aan die stuur is wat ons kan vertrou, dink ek. En ons hou van wat jy doen. Dit lyk goed. Die manne speel beter, hulle voel beter, hulle lyk beter. Lyk goed.
Baie dankie Dion. Jy weet laasens of ten slotte wil ek maar net dankie sê vir die ondersteuning van die Namibiërs. Jy weet, ek het vanaf dat jy aangekom het, was ek baie verwelkom en voel heel tuis. Iemand het gesê as jy eenmal in Namibië kom, is dit maar moeilik om weg te kom van Namibië, maar the hospitality has been fantastic and I enjoy working with, you know, people who love the game and and their supporters it's not to be underestimated, and I'm, you know, thankful for that.
We're standing behind you, and Alistair Goodseer, thanks so much for spending time with us this morning.
Cheers, John.
Meet Donna and Chris.
Hi. Donna.